come to join us this morning, and we celebrate Mother's Day for the mothers with us. Thank you so much for being a mom. If you're not a if you're not a physical mother, step into the role of being a spiritual mother and lead people to Jesus. Love on them, right? I know that for some of us, you know, some of us, this day causes some grief because we love our moms and they've passed on from this life to the next. For some of us, it may cause some grief because we may have had some children that are no longer with us. But I want to encourage you that in that grief, celebrate with Jesus that he's still with you. Amen? He's still with you. Through it all, he's still with you. Through all the grief and the pain and the heartache, he's still with you. And he's bringing you to moments of joy and clarity and strength. Can I get an amen? Sometimes we have to declare the word of the Lord over our lives, right? And so I'm just so thankful that we can do that, that God empowers us to do that. And I'm thankful for what God is doing this morning. And so we just want to welcome you. If it's your first time here, thank you for coming to be with us. And thank you for sharing this moment with us, with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We believe that when we gather together, that the physical presence of God comes in our midst, because that's the promise of the Word of God. And this is a church that believes wholeheartedly in what the Bible says. And so thank you for making yourself available to move into that moment and to be a part of what God is doing this morning. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to go ahead and dismiss our students to go to their class this morning. If you don't know, we do have an elementary class for our kids, and then we have a preschool class and a nursery class as well. And so we're releasing them to go back in those classes and receive what God has prepared for them this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many are so glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. I love it when we can come together in the presence of God together and allow him to minister to our hearts and to our lives. And I believe that God is doing something very important in us. And if you remember last week, if you were with us, we started a new series called Align. And this is based on a word that God spoke to this church. It's a prophetic word at the beginning of this year. I can't remember if it was actually in the month of January. It might have been in the month of February. But it was towards the beginning of this year at some point. We had a message come in tongues, and we received the interpretation of that message in tongues. Now, just let me explain this real quickly. Sometimes we gloss over this stuff in our Pentecostal charismatic circles, and we think everybody knows what we're talking about. But I want to make clear to you that you understand that we find that there are 9 spiritual gifts listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And they were given to the body of Christ for the edifying, or that just means the building up of his church. And we find that when we are active in those spiritual gifts, that God builds his church and he speaks a word to his church. Then we go to the next chapter, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we realize that the number one gift that Jesus has given us is love. And we have to operate in all of the other gifts based upon the gift of love. Otherwise, we just are making a lot of noise and we're doing a lot of stuff that's meaningless. So it's very important, it's very vital that everything that we do is based out of the gift of love that Jesus has given us, and now we're sharing that love with one another. Then we move to the next chapter, chapter 14 in 1 Corinthians, and he begins to clarify to us the difference between tongues and interpretation or prophecy. And he says it's actually the same thing as long as that tongue or that language that we don't know is interpreted. And so what we had happen is God spoke to us through the gift of tongues, and then there was an interpretation come forth. So therefore, there was a prophecy given to this church. Are y'all with me? Trying to do this quickly so I can get through this. And God declared that this is a year for his church to align ourselves with his heart, to connect with his heart and to come into alignment with his heart. And so that's what this whole series has been based upon, that as me and Pastor Alicia began to pray. And as she was sharing with you last week, we actually were thinking we were going to go into a different series. We're going to start a different series, but that's why we pray. Come on, somebody. And we always want what God wants. And so just so you know, sometimes people get kind of, how do I want to say this? They get concerned when churches start doing series and planning schedules and all of this. They're like, are we letting the Holy Spirit do what He wants to do in our midst? And I'm going to tell you, yes, we are. And how many of you know that God is a God of order? God builds structure. So when we are His people, we begin to seek Him. We know what His order is. He reveals it to us. And we're not infallible. We can miss it. We can make mistakes. And so that's why we continually seek Him, so that we can know what's going on. And so we're still going to preach a message based on the series that we thought God was wanting us to move into. But it's just going to be one message. And it's going to be on the 24th of this month. And how many of you know what the 24th of May is? Say it out loud. Pentecost Sunday. All right? Pentecost Sunday. And so we're going to be preaching a message about the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday. Now, we thought we were going to do a series, but God changed that on us. All right? And we went into this series, and we're preaching about to align. And so last week, I want to just do a quick recap for you of last week. Pastor Alicia set the foundation, and I want to just give you the three thoughts of alignment that we're talking about. And the first one is purpose. Pastor Alicia talked to us about purpose last week. This morning, we're going to talk about people, and then the last message in this series is going to be about position, all right? Purpose, people, position. And I want to read to you the definition of align. It's this: to get or fall into line, to be in or come into precise adjustment or correct relative position. And oftentimes, when we think about alignment, we're so focused on the latter part of that, which would be the third thing we're going to be talking about, and that is position. Raise your hand if you've ever been to a chiropractor, right? Look at that, man. Look around. There's a lot of people who go to chiropractors nowadays. I remember when I was a kid, people were kind of like, even really doctors, right? It was kind of a nervous thing that people weren't too sure about, but now it's a readily thing that they do. What is the chiropractor concerned with? Alignment. And most certainly, the first thought we have, because if something in our body's out of alignment, we are in pain. So our focus is the position of where that's at. And we think that our bones need repositioned. But we also have to understand the purpose of why those bones are there in the first place. And that's what chiropractors understand, the purpose. And so that's why they know how to get them in the right position, because they understand the purpose of the structure of the body. And last week, Pastor Alicia began to start with us about purpose. And she gave us this scripture that's the theme scripture. And I want to go back to it. Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 12 through 15. I'm going to be reading in the New Living Translation. And many translations go right along with this. But it gives us some different words sometimes. And for our generation, it helps us understand what God's speaking to us. So it says this: since God chose you, everybody say me, to be the holy people He loves. Wow. That's pretty special. God chose us to be the holy people He loves. You must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And Pastor Alicia started with the focus upon verse 12. And she's talked to us about being clothed in this. And we're going to go back into that thought this morning. And I thought it was amazing how what we sang this morning, we started talking about being clothed in his righteousness and putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God is speaking something to us this morning, and I want you to grasp this and get a hold of it, all right? And one thing I want to point out to you, well, let me finish reading this to you first because I don't want to get ahead of myself. Verse 13, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive one another, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love. There's that word again, clothe ourselves, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, we are called to live in peace and always be complaining. Oh, that's not what your Bible says? Then how's come that's what we see all the time? Oh, man, you're all thinking, here we go. Pastor Joe's going to step on our toes this morning. I should have worn my steel-toed boots. Always be thankful. I think the Apostle Paul wrote somewhere where he said, that's the will of God, to give thanks in all things. Right? Through Christ Jesus, we give thanks. And so we need to understand what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us as a church here. And so I want to recap real quickly a main point that Pastor Alicia made last week when it comes to purpose. Because I think sometimes we distort purpose because we connect purpose to outcome. We connect purpose to what we are seeing happen around us. And we connect purpose to value, which is a good thing, but our value is connected to whether we think we're doing it right or doing it wrong. And really, I loved how she made she brought different people up here in different walks of life, and she made the example of this, is we all have a different position. And in this life, our position can change. Like there was one time that I had the position of being just a son. But now I'm also a son and a husband. And then one day, my wife comes to me and lets me know I'm not just a son and a husband anymore, but now I'm a father. Those are positions. If you remember what she was talking about, that's a position of life that you are in. And those things can change depending on where you're at. At one point, I had the position of being the youth pastor of this church. I no longer have that position. Right? But did that change my purpose? No. And our purpose starts out with this, that we are first and foremost the children of God. And therefore, since we are the children of God, we are now ambassadors of his kingdom to this world, in this earth. Now, we forget that. We forget that we carry that. We get wrapped up into the day-to-day life, and we think that we're stuck in something or stuck in some place, and we lose our understanding of our purpose. Because we think our purpose is connected to what we're doing and the results of what we're trying to accomplish. This is so easy in our American world because we are driven by the results of everything. We work in jobs where we will get more pay based on our results. It's a results-driven society. And if I will give my life to work for a company, to work for this thing, then they will appreciate me more, But sometimes they won't even pay me more because they realize they can take advantage of me because I have given my life to this thing because I think that is my purpose. When that is not our purpose at all. We only find true purpose when we begin to understand that we are the children of God and we are ambassadors of a whole nother world to this world we live in. Just recently, and you'll hear me a few times, I'm hoping to keep it limited, but this stuff is just stirring in my heart this morning because it's so recent. And just at the beginning of this past week, I had the opportunity to travel to Washington, D.C., and to be part of a group of pastors and rabbis where we advocated for the nation of Israel and advocated for the Jewish people. And we went to a session, a follow-up session, after we went on Capitol Hill and had advocated to congressmen and women and senators. And the ambassador of Israel to the United States was there and gave us a speech. He was there in representation of the nation of Israel. He was on foreign soil to him. He was representing Israel to the American people. And he was speaking about the atrocities that are happening to Jewish people. He was representing that there is a people group, multiple people groups that are coming against a singular people group just because of who they are. That was his job, to represent Israel in that moment. But do you know that after he walked off the stage, he was still the ambassador of Israel? He wasn't just there for a speech. He is there to represent Israel in everything he does. And so if he would decide to go out and do something crazy, he's representing Israel in that decision. Or if he decides to stop for a moment and to show people kindness and love and generosity to the people who are the quote-unquote nobodies, he is representing Israel because he is an ambassador of Israel. And he has been positioned at this time in his life to be in America to be the ambassador of Israel. So even though he is in America, he's representing Israel. Church, we have to get a hold of this. We are the children of God. We are not representing the Turner family alone. We're not representing the Lighthouse Church. We are representing God Almighty. And this is our purpose in life, to bring the kingdom of God to the people of this earth everywhere we go. So we are representing the kingdom of God. So when we do some boneheaded move, we're reflecting that on the kingdom of God. Or when we stop and see someone that's hurting and in need and needs help, we are representing the kingdom of God. It's bigger than us in our individual lives. And that's how we begin to understand purpose, and we align ourselves with purpose and align ourselves with Jesus. Because when Jesus showed up, you know what? He didn't even preach himself. What did he preach? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so we, as Christian people, have to understand that we must align ourselves with the heart of God in our purpose. And so this morning we're going to move into the next verse of scripture there. I believe it's verse 13 and 14. We're going to hit that. And we're going to talk about aligning ourselves in the understanding of people. And so, church, let me say this to you first. We align with God through people. There's an important message in the scriptures that is a theme. It's not the meta narrative, but it is a theme throughout scripture from Genesis to Revelation, that God wants his people to come together and be connected as one in him. And so you have to get this. If you can go back to my other slide here, because I want to hit this point that I didn't get. We are better together. And a false doctrine, a false ideology that is infiltrating the church in America right now is this, that I don't have to come to an assembly. I don't have to come to a gathering. I don't have to be a part of anything to serve Jesus, because it's just about me and Jesus. And me and Jesus got our own thing going. Let me tell you something. I have a personal relationship with Jesus that none of you get to speak to. But as I walk with you, I'm going to get down right where you're living this morning. As I walk with you and you walk with me, it makes my personal relationship with Jesus better. Better. Because even though you don't get to really tell me what to do, because it's the Holy Spirit that leads me into the relationship with Jesus, you can also display what I'm missing in my relationship with Jesus. And you can give me the word of God that will convict my heart and convince me that I'm not where I need to be in this area of my relationship with Jesus. And you know what happens when people try to do it all alone, all by themselves, and they're just like, hey, me and Jesus, we're good. I talk to him all the time. They fall into lies and misunderstandings because there's not a collective group of people who are helping them discern the word of God rightly. And all of a sudden, there's whispers and lies that come to people, and they begin to believe something about the word of God that is not true. So we are better together. Even when you make me mad, we are better together. Because you're smoothing out the rough edges of my life. We hear this quoted all the time. Iron sharpens iron. Proverbs, right? And we say that like it's something cool that we do at Bible study together. Do you know that in Bible study, what we're doing is we're just reasoning in the Word together, and there's hardly any iron sharpening iron because we all agree. When we start sharpening each other, it's when we disagree. And we're better together for it. Well, I don't know about that, Pastor. I mean, I think it's easier if I just go find a group of people who I agree with. Is that what God told you to do? See, the American church, I'm preaching to the American church this morning. Does everybody live in here in America? Raise your hand if you live here in the United States of America. Yeah? Oh, so then you're the American church. We treat church like Baskin Robbins. And whatever flavor we want, that's what we go get that week. But you know that God has spoken to us directly when we live and walk with him and places us amongst the people group that we must walk with. Even when it's annoying. Even when it frustrates us. Why? Because we're better together. And church, you got to understand, people matter. And that person that you work alongside, that God put you in the midst of, that you keep praying, God, would you just move me or move them? And God's going, I don't know why you're asking me to stop doing something I did. And I don't know why you're giving the devil glory for something I did. Well, surely God didn't do that. Are you kidding me? People matter. Do you know who has the heart of God? Human beings. Getting quiet in here. And that human being that drives you up a wall is there for two purposes. First and foremost, you are an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven to that individual. And you've been making it about yourself. And second of all, God's working some things out of you to purify you. Like we were singing this morning, he's been firing you up, and you think it's just been your anger. No. He's firing you up because there's a dross that he's getting ready to pull. Do y'all know what the dross is? You see, the impurities come to the top when the heat comes on. And then the man who's watching the priceless metal work, he takes this big spoon or this big ladle and he scoops out the impurities and removes them. And you're so upset because you keep seeing the impurities coming to the top of your life and you're thinking, God, you need to move this person because I can't be a godly individual with them in my presence. And God's saying, no, I need to keep them there because I'm helping you become refined and be a better servant of Jesus Christ. See, we got to love people because God loves people. You don't believe me? All right, let's go into the Word of God some more, all right? So we are better together. Everybody got that? We are better together. And you need to understand this, that life is sacred. Just let that simmer for a minute. Life is sacred because God is the giver of life. So he says this, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. We're talking about people here today, right? So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, you have to understand something. Out of all the things that God created in the creation narrative, it is human beings alone, men and women, that the Bible says that we are created in the image of God. So people are very special. People are important. And one thing that gets my goat, the one thing that frustrates me, is when I hear other people talking about other people and calling them worthless and no account and no good. Because my Savior, Jesus Christ, died for that person that you're saying is worthless and no account and no good. My Savior, Jesus Christ, loves that person. And so therefore, because I love Jesus, he does a special work in my heart and causes me to love that person that you are saying is no account and no good and worthless. Because people matter to God. Because they are made in the image and likeness of God. And what we need to understand is we live in a generation right now that is trying to take that word. Stick with me here for a minute. Trying to take that word that God spoke and twist it up and mess it up and change it all around. And if he can get people to believe that that is not true, then people start believing that the word of God is untrue. And this is the work of the devil. It's demonic in our generation. It is demonic, causing people to believe something that's not true, that male and female are not created in the image of God. And we can do to ourselves what we choose to do, and we can act how we want to act, and we can do all these crazy things because we're just animals. I got news for you. I'm more than just an animal. I may be a mammal, but I'm more than just an animal. Because I have been created in the image of God himself. And so therefore, that's important for me to understand this aspect, that when I align myself with God, then I have to understand the sanctity of life, and it is sacred because I am made in the image of God. We are so image-driven in our society right now. Our generation is the most image-driven generation that has ever been out there. We have to take pictures of everything that we do. And we're so focused on how it looks that we even have filters to make ourselves look better and take out our flaws And ladies, you don't have makeup on, but you'll make sure your picture has makeup on your face. And you'll use a filter to make sure you look better. And then if you don't like the picture, you'll delete it. Do you not know that you are made in the image and the likeness of God Himself? And He's not talking about your skin color. He's not talking about the pimple that's on your face. He's not talking about the wrinkles that start showing up the older we get. He's talking about who you are as a person, and you matter to God. Please get that in your heart this morning. You matter to God. And if somebody doesn't like you, then so what? Because you matter to God Himself, the creator of the universe. He doesn't care about your wrinkles or your flaws. He sees them as something beautiful and gorgeous. This just came to me. I got to share this with you. I got an old Gibson guitar. It's my favorite guitar I own. It's one of those things that if your house ever started burning down and you have to grab something, I'm going to grab one of my Bibles. Actually, it's usually in my office here, but if it's at home, I would grab this Bible because it means something to me, and I would grab that guitar. If you would see that guitar, you would think, Pastor Joe, that guitar, that one matters to you. See, it's all beat up. It's got the wrong tuning knobs on it because the original one's broke because it's so old. So me and my cheap self bought some cheap ones and threw it on it. The wood is worn where the pick guard is. And it's wore down through the varnish and wore down through even the wood. And you can see the ripples of the wood in it. It's all beat up. It needs a lot of work. The neck is all wrong. So I have to put the lightest gauge of strings that I can put on it just so I can play it. And it buzzes in certain spots because it needs the neck redone. It needs a fret job. And some of you have no clue what I'm talking about right now. That's my favorite guitar. What you see is what it looks like. But what I see is what it is. The time that I've played it in the presence of God, not just in some church service, but it was just me and Him, it's special to me. I know the other people who've played that guitar. It's special to me. You see, when God sees you, He doesn't see you the beat up roughness of life that's come upon you, your gray hair or your no hair. He sees you, and you matter to Him. Church, why is it that we're so willing to believe some negative thought about ourselves? I'm going to get right down where you're living this morning. We will believe a negative thought about ourselves over the truth of what God's word says about ourselves. We're more willing to believe that. Well, I made a mistake, so I must be stupid. We'll call ourselves stupid. We'll call ourselves ugly because we have a negative thought about ourselves. We'll call ourselves not good enough because we have a negative thought about ourselves. Let me ask you something. Do you for 1 minute believe that that negative thought came from God? I got a whole bunch of people shaking their head like this, a bunch of people saying no. So if it didn't come from God, then why do we believe it? Well, Pastor Joe, I don't want to get full of myself. I want to make sure I'm humble before God. You're already hitting on this morning, Sister Betty. Don't you know that when you stand up straight and walk tall, that you are not emanating the glory of yourself, you are emanating the glory of God. God. And listen, when we get a little bit too big for our britches, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit knows how to take care of us. I don't know why we think it's our job to take care of the Holy Spirit's job all the time. Well, you know, we better make sure that young preacher doesn't get a big head. They did a really good job, but we don't want them to think more highly of themselves than they ought to. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And He does a really good job at it. The Bible that I read says that God chastises those whom He loves.
So he'll chasten the people when they get out of line. But our problem isn't that. We think so low of ourselves that we're not reflecting the image of God anymore. We're just reflecting the image of sin in our lives, and we constantly beat ourselves up over it. Something we did 20 or 30 years ago that God set us free from 20 or 30 years ago, and we need to live in the freedom and the gospel of Jesus Christ in our lives, that he has made me brand new in Jesus Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things. Oh, come on, preach with me this morning. All things have become brand new. Stop believing the lies that are spoken to you in your head and start believing what God said about you. You know, sometimes I shared with you that I went to Washington, D.C. this the beginning of last week. You know that I have an issue with that sometimes? Because I'm thinking to myself, oh, they're going to think you think you're some big shot, Pastor Joe, because you got to go do this and got to go do that and blah, blah, blah. These are all the lies that come in my head. And you know what? I got sick of it, and I started saying, you know what? I'm going to give God the glory, because it's only God that makes something like that happen. God receives all the glory because we are his people bearing his image. And when we align ourselves with God in his heart, we reflect the heart of God, and people matter. Amen? Life is sacred. Amen? Everybody is important to God. Amen? That means everybody is important to us. So let me just say this to you, because it's Mother's Day, so let me just throw this in for you. Okay? This one's for free. That's a joke. Go with me to Genesis chapter 3, verse 20 now. The Bible says this: the man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Commentary says this: Eve sounds like the Hebrew word for life giver and resembles the word for living. Now, it's interesting that God made man in his image, and he didn't stop there. What did he say? He made male and female. But he took the rib of the male so he can make the female. And he made woman. Woman means a man with a womb. Why is this important on Mother's Day? Because this identity is being challenged in the very world we live in. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies. You are too special and too fearfully and wonderfully made by the hands of God himself to fall for this lie that a woman doesn't matter, that we can choose what we want to be, because God distinctly made you with a womb so that you can carry life and give life. I'm a man. I cannot do that. I do not have a womb. Now, it doesn't make me lesser than you women, because I am also made in the image of God, and he has fearfully and wonderfully made me specifically to do the things that a man can do. But women, do not put yourselves down. And in the sense of what the scripture is saying, as you are the weaker vessel, it is not putting women down. It's actually elevating women, that you are delicate and should be highly taken care of and given something to from the men. I thought it was beautiful, Brother Bill, when you pulled up this morning in your white Mustang, which is your wife's car because she's claimed it, so it's hers. You pulled right up to the door. You got out of your car, walked around, and opened the door for your wife so that she could come into church. That's what a man does for the woman he loves. And it's not putting a woman down because, well, they're not capable. I'm going to tell you something right now. Sister Melanie can open up her own car door. She's very capable. But we honor women. Come on, I'm so sick of this. I'm sorry, I got to preach on this for a second. We honor women. We honor them. We love them. We cherish them. We take care of them, men. Why? Because they can do something we can't do. They carry life inside of them, and they give birth to it. You ever wonder why the Bible refers to the church as a woman, his bride? This is good. Don't miss this. Because God puts his life inside of his church. And we carry that life with us until we birth it into other people. And we share the life of God in this world. And we birth things into this world that God puts into our hearts. We carry life. And he is the life giver. But because we are made in the image of God and we are his church, now we are also by default the life givers in this world to this generation. You see, we as a church matter because we are his bride and we carry the life of Jesus Christ inside of us. That's how much people matter. That's how much people matter. If people didn't matter, then he would just go, you know what? When somebody randomly comes and accepts Jesus, poof, you're translated. Gone. Take you to heaven. Like it's some random thing. That's why I don't believe in predestination in the sense of the doctrine that's taught. God predestined all of us to come to know Jesus. But I believe that we all have that opportunity to come. And the church is still here today being representatives and ambassadors of Jesus Christ to the world so that other people can come to know Jesus and we can give life to them. And by faith, they receive it. So people matter. Have you got a hold of that? Good, I don't have to preach that part anymore. This is what happens when you turn service over to me before 11 o'clock. Because we can't get out before 12. That's a sin, right? What time is it? Oh, see, I've only been preaching half an hour. That was just my introduction. Y'all laughing, but that's the truth. So I'm going to speed it up a little bit. But I want you to go back with me to the passage of Scripture I read to you. That's the theme passage for this series, Align. Now that I've laid the foundation that people are important, right? You guys got that? People are important to God. There are three things that God extends from his heart that we must align with when it comes to people. Those three things are grace, forgiveness, and love. And from the very heart of the Father, he extends these things to the world. Now, I know he extends other things, but in this passage, we can clearly see that this is an extension of God's heart in Colossians to people, and it's a challenge to the people of God to do the same. So I want to read this to you. He says this, make allowance for others, each other's faults. Make allowance for each other's faults. Didn't say make allowance for each other's gifts. Didn't say make allowance for people to shine for Jesus. Make allowance for people when they're doing everything right. No, the scripture says, make allowance for each other's faults. See, God's heart extends grace. Everybody say grace. Now, you see, the difference between grace and mercy is this. Mercy is that you deserve to get smacked upside the head because you're being silly. But I'm not going to do that to you. That's mercy. Grace is this, you don't deserve a reward for doing something good because you ain't done nothing good. But I'm going to give it to you anyway. See the difference between grace and mercy? See the difference? Understand it? So that's why it's so important that, look, yes, we extend mercy to one another, okay? Don't jump all over people when they're being silly. Don't beat them down with your words. Don't talk about them and gossip about them. Extend mercy. We see in this passage, it's not just mercy. It's saying make allowance for each other's faults. So in the midst of their faults, what I'm going to do is I'm going to extend grace. What does that mean? That means I'm going to treat them like they didn't mess up. Let me just hit something real quickly here. I've been saying that a lot this morning, but I'm trying to go as fast as I can. The church has become so fear-based in how we operate that we don't know how to give each other grace because we're so scared someone's going to take that and run with it and take advantage of it, and they're going to go and do their own thing and just mess everything up. But don't you know that Jesus has extended us so much grace that he has made allowance for us to mess it all up? I mean, get the gospel story here for a minute, okay? God gave us a perfect place to live called the Garden of Eden. He said we could eat of any tree that we wanted to eat of, including the tree of life, except for one. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Just don't eat that one. You can do anything else you want, and you can even eat the tree of life so that you could live forever. This isn't a fantasy story. This is the truth of the gospel. And human beings messed it all up, and they ate of the one tree they weren't supposed to eat of. And God, in his grace, gives them the gospel message I just preached about this a few weeks ago that says, you know what? Yeah, you messed it up, but I have prepared a way where I'm going to bring you back, and you're going to overcome this serpent that tricked you. But this is what I'm going to do for you. In your nakedness and in your shame, I'm going to make a sacrifice, the very first sacrifice for you. I'm going to sacrifice animals, and I'm going to take skins and make clothes for you to cover you. That's a gift when we didn't deserve it. That's grace. And then he says, now, even though you messed it all up, I have a plan in place that you're going to walk through. It's going to be a long time and many, many years, but you're going to walk through, and I'm going to show you all of this that I'm going to do for you through signs and wonders, types and shadows of the Old Testament, and that one that I told you is coming, when he shows up, he's going to overcome sin and the sickness of this world and the terrible things of this world. He's going to overcome it so that you can be set free. Well, when Jesus shows up, he overcomes it. And then what does he do? He takes the authority that he's been given and gives it right back to the people who lost it in the first place. Don't tell me he doesn't extend grace to us, knowing that we could, by chance, mess it all up, because we already have. So he took the authority that had been given to us and we lost and was taken by Satan. He takes it back from Satan and then gives it back to us. Come on, man. That's insane to me. But you see, he believes in people. God has faith in us. And so his heart is to extend grace. He even says this, for by grace we are saved. We are given this by God for no apparent reason except for the fact that he loves people. And when we, through faith, believe in the name of Jesus, then we receive this grace and walk in it and live in it. So therefore, we align our hearts with God and we give each other grace. And you know what we begin to do when we give each other grace? We don't cover up your sin. What we do is we enable you by the power of the Holy Spirit to rise above your sin and walk in newness of life. That's why I don't like labels. Because labels stick something on us that's not true. The only label I want to wear is a child of God. That's all that matters to me. So it doesn't matter what my past is. And look, I don't talk about a recovering addict. I know a lot of people do, and I celebrate their recovery. But you know what? I don't see a recovering addict, because you're not an addict anymore. I see a child of God. I don't see an adulterer or a fornicator. I see a child of God. That's why when Pastor Alicia was talking last week about the stripper that showed up at church, if that word offends you, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. Because it's time we just start talking about things the way they are. Do you know that that individual lady matters to God? And God was giving her an opportunity to receive grace from his people, and his people gave her condemnation. And my Bible reads that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Well, she might be walking after the flesh, but I'm supposed to be walking after the Spirit. So why am I dishing out condemnation? We extend grace so these people can rise above the situation of life that they're in and be set free. You see, the reason why we see what's happening in our generation and people's lives is because we have chosen to believe the lie of this world, the lie of the devil, over the truth of the gospel message. And we're scared that people are going to mess it up. One last proof before we move on to the next one. You ready for this? You tell me what church in America that would do this, okay? But Jesus did. Jesus goes, this meets this lady at the well. She's referred to as the woman at the well. We don't even have her name. Now, history says that her name is like Fotini or something like that. They've called her a saint. I'm probably not pronouncing that right with my hillbilly English. But the Bible doesn't give her name. It's the woman at the well. And he begins to reveal to her her sin and all the stuff that she's wrapped up in. You're an adulterer. You've had five husbands, and the man you're with now is not even your husband. You're just living with him. And Jesus didn't say, so you're going to hell. No, he says, you've offered me a drink of water, but I have something to offer you. Oh, come on, man. Knowing who she is, I have something to offer you that is living water that will transform and change your life and change who you are. Now, let me get to the good part. You all think that's the good part. That's not the good part. Here's the good part. He sends her back to the Decapolis, the 10 cities. And you know what the Bible says? She went to all the ladies and had a Bible study with women only because she has a problem with men. So we don't want to put her in the presence of a bunch of men. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that this lady who's been running around with all these guys goes to the men of the city. And she says, come see a man who told me all that I am. I believe he is the one. He's the Messiah. Come see him. You know what changed their minds about what was going on and caused the men of the city to come out and hear this man? It was the lady who had been an adulteress, running around with all the men, saying, hey, he changed me. I'm not running after that anymore, because I finally met the man of my life. Now you tell me what church in America would do that. Let's take our time. Why? Because we're scared. Because we don't really believe in the power of the transformation of Jesus Christ. Shame on us. People matter to God. And if we extend them grace, it rises above the plot that they are in life, the place that they are in life, and they can begin to walk in the Spirit of God and be forever changed. Because it may not be a physical encounter at a well, but there's a spiritual encounter that people have with Jesus, and they are changed forever in that very moment. We need to start believing it. If we're going to align ourselves with the heart of God, we need to start believing it. We need to really believe that we can extend grace to people and it will change them forever. I know I'm making y'all nervous right now. I don't know about that, Pastor Joe. Can we please take it slow? Can we please take it easy? Maybe that's our problem. We're waiting around too long and we're letting these thoughts and these ideas that enter in people's hearts again. When God's saying, no, I set them free. Number two, the heart of God extends forgiveness. And here's our issue. The reason that we don't want to extend grace is because we don't understand how to extend forgiveness. See, what am I really preaching about this morning? I'm preaching about the immaturity of the body of Christ. And if we're going to begin to align our hearts with God's heart, we have to mature. He says this, forgive anyone who offends you. Didn't say this, forgive those people you like who offend you. It says, anyone. Even the people who don't want your forgiveness. Even the people who hate you, who can't stand you. Forgive them. I'm not standing up here before you like that's some easy thing to do. This is something I wrestle with. And I wrestle with it, and I wrestle with it. And I say, God, teach me how to forgive like you forgive. Because he goes on to say this. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Forgive me of my trespasses as I forgive those who've trespassed against me. That's a conditional forgiveness. The heart of God extends forgiveness to all. The Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive our sins. He doesn't have to. He chooses to. In the heart of God, if we align our hearts with him, as we extend forgiveness. Do you know why there's so many sick and afflicted Christians? One of the reasons why so many Christians go around sick and afflicted is because of unforgiveness in their life. And the Bible even says that bitterness becomes like a rottenness even to our bones. We walk around with bitterness in our heart, but we proclaim the love of Jesus. And we end up doing more damage as being ambassadors of the kingdom of God than we are doing good, because we've allowed bitterness to overrun our heart. And you see, this is the biggest thing. I don't believe in hurting people. I don't believe in messing with people's heads. I don't believe that we should let things go in the church world unattended. I'm not saying that at all. Leadership needs to be called out when they're not doing things right and representing Jesus Christ right. People need to be called out by leadership so that they can be extended grace, so they can rise above the things that they're not doing right. All of this is true. But that's not the heart of why I don't want bitterness in my heart. The heart of the matter is this, is that bitterness will separate me from Jesus. And Jesus matters to me more than anything else. And we've lost the sight of that, church. We think we read the Bible so that we can read the Bible and know what the Bible says. No, no, no. We read the Bible so we can know Jesus. We think we pray so we can get what we want from God. No, no, no. We pray so we can get to know Jesus. It's a relationship. It's why we do these disciplines. It's not so that we can earn something with God or gain something from God. It's so that we can get to know God better. We spend time with him. When you spend your devotional time with God, please, 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 I'm begging you, do not rush through that moment of your life. Make it a habit every day to spend time with Jesus, because you can't wait to see him that day. If I have unforgiveness in my heart, it separates me from being able to go into the presence of God in freedom. And that's why I don't want unforgiveness there. We talk about all this stuff like, well, it hurts you more than it hurts the person you're holding it against. And all that stuff is true. But here's the bottom line, church. I don't want anything to come between me and Jesus. Nothing. So any feeling towards somebody, anything that someone's done with, and I might have every right to be angry. But I don't want that to separate me from my Savior. So I have to rise to a level of maturity that I can't do within my own self. I need him. And he teaches me how to forgive the unforgivable things that happen to us. Now, there's wisdom in all of this. Sometimes connection is broken, but those people still matter. And God loves them. We pray that God has mercy upon them, and we extend grace. However, God teaches us to extend grace in those matters because we've forgiven. Amen? We forgive because Jesus forgave us. And the last thing is this, if you can go to the last slide for me. Number three is we give love. Above all, clothe yourselves with love. God's heart extends love. No matter what, God's heart extends love. For God so loved. 1 John tells us in two different places in chapter 4 that God is love. This is what emanates from him because this is who he is. And so we as Christians, human beings that now have the Spirit of God living inside of us, when we align ourselves with the heart of God, we too extend love. And it makes a complete turnaround difference in our lives when we learn how to extend love. I want to share something real quickly with you, and I have an illustration. And I'm going to close this message with the illustration. But I want to share this little nugget with you I learned this week. Because I don't know if you are fully aware of it or not. I know some people in this congregation are. They see what's going on. But some people don't, because you may be more like me where you're like, I just don't even want to watch the news. It just drives me crazy. But here's another thing. There are some things that aren't even in the news that are taking place that people should be being made aware of. And so on my trip to D.C., I was made aware of this. That it just appalled me. Just totally shocked me. There's a man who's a congressman. His name is Max Miller. And I'm just going to say this to you right now, and this may step on your toes hard, but I got to say this. I don't care if you agree with his politics or not. I don't. You know why? Because he's a human being. And God loves him. A U.S. congressman. Let me tell you his story and what he's going through right now. He was attacked by a Muslim doctor, an MD. You heard about this. Ran off the road. This doctor tried to give bodily harm to him, hurt him. You know why? Because he's Jewish. That's the only reason. Had nothing to do with politics. Had nothing to do with some vote that he voted on that this man didn't like. Had everything to do with the fact that he's Jewish. And there was so much evidence, overwhelming evidence, the doctor pleads out, pleads guilty of it. Yep, I did it. Turns around and sues the congressman for defamation of character. This is the world we're living in right now. This congressman had to fill out a countersuit, and they are gathering evidence where not only this doctor, but two other doctors who are Muslim have been texting one another, planning these things, saying derogatory things towards Jewish people, towards African Americans, and towards the LGBTQ plus community. Now, these are people who are supposed to take care of people medically, to provide a service for them, and they're planning on hurting people. This is not some faraway land. This is happening in the United States of America, and this is so close to home. This is an Ohio congressman. He works in D.C., but he lives in Ohio. That's why he represents Ohio in the House of Representatives. This man is going through this right now, all because of hate. And no one's talking about it because it's been made socially acceptable for people to hate Jews. That's the sad fact in the day we live in. But I'm going to tell you something. You ready for this radical revelation? If it was the other way around, if three Jewish guys were attacking a Muslim man, you better believe that the news would have jumped on all that and everybody would be hearing about it. And rightfully so. Why? Because people matter. It's not okay to bring bodily harm on people. See, I'm not just standing up for Jewish people when I went to D.C. And I'm not just standing up for Israel because, first of all, God tells us to do that in His Word. I'm standing up for human rights. Why? Because God loves humanity. And when these things happen, it's wrong. It's wrong. And the church has to stand up and say, it's wrong. And we don't sometimes because we disagree with their ideology, with their philosophy, and with what they are promoting. Shame on us that we can't set aside those differences for a minute and say, you know what? Life is sacred. And people matter. And it's not okay for people going around trying to kill people and shoot people and do all these terrible things. It's not okay for a Hamas group to attack the nation of Israel just because they hate the nation of Israel. That's not okay, church. It's not okay for people to hate black people. It's not okay for people to hate LGBTQ plus people. I disagree with their ideology. I disagree with their philosophy in life, but I don't hate them. I love them. Because God has commanded me to extend love from my heart for them. Are you following me this morning? It's time that we start standing up for righteousness and holiness in our nation. Because guess what? There's a lot of people who are standing up for unrighteousness and unholiness, and they're winning the battle because the church has kept silent. All because we have one little disagreement on something. It's time that we start to extend love and clothe ourselves in love. AJ, I want you to come up here. You're going to help me this morning. Promise you, I'm going to end on this. I don't even know how long I've been preaching. Turn and face everybody. This is my son. I'm proud of him and I love him. Not because of his accomplishments, but because of who he is. You follow me? Now, he's an extraordinary Bible quizzer. And he's been working hard, lifting weights, getting ready to play high school football. He's going to be a freshman. I'm proud of him for that. Not because he's playing football, because he's working and challenging himself. I'm proud of him because he's learning the Word of God, not because he's an amazing Bible quizzer. That Word it's getting it. And we'll be talking and doing things or doing a family Bible plan together on YouVersion, and he'll quote scriptures he's learned from Bible quizzing in that because it's in his heart. You know what God does when we become his children? He covers us with his robe. Now, this isn't a robe. This is a coat. What do you guys think? How does that look? Look good on him? Why don't you go to that last slide? This is what Pastor Alicia told us last week. This is what that word in the original language means. In the sense of sinking into a garment, to invest with clothing, literally or figuratively. Now, he has sunk into this garment because the Father, come on, get this, church, the Father has covered him. Our Father covers us. It's too big for us. It's too grand for us. It doesn't really fit because we don't deserve it. But it fits because our Father says so. And it engulfs us and encloses us to keep us safe. You see, that is His grace, that is His forgiveness, and that is His love all wrapped up in one, that we are clothed by our Father. Now, Allison, I want you to come up here too. I've been picking on Emma, so now I'm going to pick on these two. Now, this is big enough that I think if you two put your arms around each other, take your arm out, put your arm around her. Yep. Now, you see if you can get your arm up in that. Can you get it? Look at that. Or how are we gonna get out? Lord have mercy, that's how big I am. Let me look at this. Oh, man. It's big on me. Promise. I want you to see this image. Align ourselves with the heart of God with people. And there's enough room. There's always more room. Matter of fact, He tells us to stretch our cords and enlarge our tents and make room for more. The prophet did. There's always room for us to be covered. And look, it's still too big for them individually, but it's big enough to cover the both of them. And it's their fathers. I can't stress that enough. It's their fathers that's covering them. It's not theirs. It's their fathers. It's our Father that clothes us in grace, clothes us in forgiveness, clothes us in love. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you cannot extend these things from your own heart. But when you align your heart with Jesus, all of a sudden it begins coming out of you. And the Bible says it's rivers of living water. I know King James Version says out of your belly, but it actually means out of the depths of your soul, which is part of your heart. And just as Jesus' heart was pierced and the blood and water gushed out, then His blood that covers us flows from us, and the cleansing power of the Holy Spirit washes out of us onto other people, and we extend His grace, we extend His forgiveness, and we extend His love to others. If you'd stand to your feet, won't you give them a hand for helping us out? We'll get them out of here if we have to. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How many are thankful for God's grace? How many are thankful for God's love? How many are thankful for God's forgiveness? How many are thankful that God gives us the opportunity for us to align ourselves with Him? So I know that you guys got stuff to do and there's things planned after this, but I want to encourage you right now. Let's take a moment and let's sit at the feet of Jesus like Mary did. Let's forget about all the tasks. Let's come forward because I believe that God wants to do something significant. Before church started, Sister Tricia told me that she just felt the presence of God in such a powerful way to heal. And I believe that He's here to heal. If you need prayer this morning, God will heal you. But He'll heal you in multiple ways. And something I really felt in my spirit as she said that was this, that God wants to heal some people's hearts and some people's minds this morning because you have fallen into a trap and believed a lie about yourself. And the life giver, Jesus Christ, is here today. He has given His life to His bride so that we can give it to you. Now I know that I get very animated when I preach. But that animation is not for show. It is because I believe in what I'm saying to you this morning with my whole heart. Now, do I always get it right? Do I always display grace like I need to? Do I always display forgiveness like I need to? Do I always display love like I need to? Absolutely not, because I'm a human being. But I believe in what I'm preaching to you. And there are times where I do extend it the right way. But I'm learning to do better and to go further and to understand more with God, because that's my heart. And that's my challenge to you this morning. If there's some things that you need to lay down, let God clothe you and purify you today so that you can, by faith, begin to believe in who God has created you to be and stop believing the lies that's been said about you, that you're not good enough, that you'll never amount to anything, that that won't work for you, it only works for others. No. You are a child of God if you've received God in your life. And if you don't know that this morning, I want to invite you to receive him this morning. By faith, you just say, yes, Lord, I'm making you, Jesus, the Lord of my life. And I'm going to follow your ways now. I receive your grace. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your love. And now help me to impart these things to others. But I want to challenge you. Sometimes we give an opportunity to come and receive healing, to receive healing spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically. And people are like, well, I don't know if I really need that. Yeah, but I can tell you one thing you need. You need more of Jesus. So don't rush out of here. Don't think, I got to get going because I got this going on. Let's take a moment right now and sit at the feet of Jesus like Mary did and receive what he has for us. I believe that during worship, God was already preparing our hearts for what he wants to do in this moment right here. And here's the thing. Here's the beauty of the gospel and of who Jesus is. The choice is yours. It's yours. You can leave here and you can say, I think I'm just going to keep dealing with what I've been dealing with. Or you can say, God, I'm ready. It's enough. And you can turn it over to him this day. It might be a battle after you walk out of this building. There might be things you're going to face and go through because of that decision. But you also have a support group called a church who loves you and is here for you to walk with you no matter what. So come on. Make your way out of those seats right now. Let's begin to just call upon the name of the Lord and receive his healing. Let's make our way to go find Jesus in a deeper, more meaningful way in our lives today so that we can extend grace, extend forgiveness, and extend love like we never have before. Come on. Let's receive what God has for us this morning.